anyway, well, our good friends at the, you know, the ADL, of course, are never ceasing to try to charge some poor little boy or girl in America with a hate crime, provided the little boy or girl is a goy, is white, is a believer in Jesus Christ, and is normal, if you will. And, of course, you know what happened ever since the Matthew Shepard murder in Wyoming. Of course, the ADL has been pushing and using that as an excuse to try to push a national hate law in America. And, of course, they've succeeded in getting statewide laws passed. So tonight I'm going to have with me back from a long hiatus Ted Pike, who is the director of the National Prayer Network, and of course he's got a Christian conservative watchdog website as well, truthtellers.org. Ted Pike, of course, is a nationally and internationally recognized expert on hate speech, hate crimes legislation. So when we get him on, I definitely am going to press him on this case in Champaign, Illinois, of this young man who apparently was guilty of just that, hate speech, ladies and gentlemen. You got that, Mike? You got that, Mossad, Mike? Huh? All right. Is Ted there? Ted Pike? Are
yes,
you there? Hi, Ted. How are
hello,
you?
Rick.
All right. Did you miss the ADL song on my program?
I don't think I missed anything.
Did you hear it?
What did it go like?
Well, I'll tell you what. We'll play it right now. Let's play it again, Mike. Give it to us. Come on. Let's welcome Ted with a good warm welcome. Here it is, Ted. Carl
Klang. Yeah, that really hits the bullseye, doesn't it?
Yes, it does. And just before we go to the first break, it's nice to have you back on the program because, as I said, you are definitely the number one expert in this area of ADL-sponsored hate legislation across America and the federal hate law, which they have been trying for almost 6 years now to pass. So welcome back, Ted.
Well, thank you so much, Rick. I did send out an e-alert from Truth Tellers just yesterday.
All right, let's hang on to that because I hear the music.
Okay.
And that means an interruption, but I promise you, when we come back in 3 minutes, we'll get right into the email and this case in Champaign, Illinois. I'm Rick Adams, Radio Avenger, right here on Uncensored Radio Free America. Okay, we're back now with Ted Pike of the TruthTellers.org, the National Prayer Network. Ted, you were just going to tell us before the break about an e-alert or email that you sent out just today.
Yes, I did. The Anti-Defamation League, as you know and as you were stating, has been trying for at least the past decade to establish a federal so-called anti-hate law for America.
Mm-hmm.
And fortunately, as a result of alternative talk radio and your program and many others, we've been able to alert the people and block them no less than five times. We've defeated them five times in the U.S. Congress.
Mm-hmm.
And as a result of that, they are desperate to get their so-called anti-hate program going. If they can't get a federal mandate operating from Washington, D.C., radiating out all over the country simultaneously. They want to do the next best thing and then has started up in local persecutions, court rulings, district attorney indictments, and things like that on the local level. And during the last year, we have seen a great acceleration of hate crimes and speech crimes, indictments and restrictions and so on in the United States. And I'm not talking about Canada, which is much farther downriver than we are, but in the United States of America. And I point out just a few of these many arrests and inconveniences, detainings, and so on, especially among Christians, those who are protesting homosexuality and so on in the United States of America. But I think probably one of the most egregious examples is the case of a young teenager, 18-year-old Brett Van Aslen, who is a born-again Christian from an evangelical family in Champaign, Michigan, Champaign, Illinois. And about 2 months ago, he and his friend were walking down the street on the University of Illinois campus, and Brett claims that there was a drunken homosexual, another student, arm-in-arm with a homosexual coming toward them. And as this homosexual passed Brett and his friend, Brett made a comment to his friend, not to the homosexual, but to his friend, which said, look at that, those gays or queers or maybe even fags. I don't know what he said. He doesn't remember. His mother doesn't know what was said. But anyway, this this homosexual whom he alleges was drunken, I'm not stating that as a fact, but he alleges he was drunken, suddenly was in his face, accosting him, would not get back or pull back, and so Brett pushed him away, and he fell down, hit his head on the pavement, claimed he was unconscious, but Brett says he wasn't. Anyway, there were four police officers who were summoned to the scene, and, and two of them interviewed the homosexual and his friend or two, and then two of them interviewed Brett and his friend, and the two who interviewed the homosexual were entitled, evidently, to give the official police report on the incident and claimed that this was a hate crime. Now, of course, that's a Class 4 felony in the state of Illinois under the ADL hate law and could result in 3 years behind bars for Brett. Now, in contrast, the two officers who interviewed Brett assured Brett there would be no problem because the homosexual was accosting him, was not, he was actually assaulting him and not pulling back, and Brett certainly had the right to defend himself and push him away. And they assured him there was no problem. This was clearly a matter of self-defense, well within his right. But to Brett's astonishment and these two police officers, they were alerted that the district attorney, police, and so on were deciding to press forward, not with a simple, even as much as a misdemeanor, but a full-scale hate crime. And so this came to my attention because the mother of Brett contacted me. She had been calling a number of the largest New Right organizations and was getting nowhere, and she found me, Googled me on the Internet, and came to our truth tellers, and she contacted me, and I was able to get a very full and detailed description from her of what happened. I put that up in an e-alert, and it instantly traveled around the world on the Internet. It was a sensation. The homosexuals were up in arms, and we were able to get lots and lots of calls coming in there to the district attorney, police, and so on, protesting this outrage.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I followed it, and it is quite an outrage, and it's only one of several that we could probably point to, where, as you pointed out, Ted, these so-called hate crimes laws have been applied in a very discriminatory manner against Christians and whites and males in particular. And if you look at the total ledger of cases brought, it is very interesting to see how they are not just brought in a very fair-minded way against anyone who might be a victim of hate, whether it's a white young man who was beaten or a young woman who was raped by blacks, for instance, in a very dangerous street setting. No, it just seems to be in most cases directed against whites, males, and Christians in particular. And you know, it makes me think that's so standard, so typical of these people in the ADL and in those Jewish circles who have always used that tactic of denuding a society from within, you know, demasculinizing it, de-Christianizing it,
yes,
if you will. Doesn't it sound familiar?
Yes, absolutely. Yes. Well, you know, back in 1917, when the Jewish Bolshevik Bela Kun took over Hungary, he pushed a very progressive pro-homosexual agenda as early as almost 100 years ago, corrupting the people and young people of Hungary. But one of the distinctive features of this new onslaught, you see, I call this ADL's Plan B. Their Plan A was to get the federal hate bill passed in 1998. That's 10 years ago.
Yes.
They couldn't do it and still haven't been able to do it. So they're doing Plan B now, which is basically, you see, you have to understand that the ADL has been working full force, at least since the early 1980s, through their various programs, the No Place for Hate program, the World of Difference program, and so on, all around the country. They have been, just listen to this, they have been educating about 285,000 public school teachers since 1980 in their World of Difference programs against homophobia, in favor of tolerance, against bias, and all this kind of thing. And so we literally have almost a full generation of people who have grown up. They've become the administrators, the police, the jurists, legislators, and so on, who are products of ADL propaganda from their elementary school teaching.
You're right.
And now this is, this evil fruit is now blossoming in all kinds of court decrees, municipal decrees, arbitrary actions, even by the local police all around the country. These evil mushrooms of ADL intrigue and propaganda are sprouting everywhere. And there's really quite a long list, quite a list of outrages, great or small, clear from appellate courts all the way down to the local police department.
Yes.
We could probably easily spend this hour talking about them.
Oh, absolutely. You know, one of the ironies of this, though, on the federal level, is that the main champion in the Senate, the Democrat, for the ADL's bills has been Ted Kennedy. And now it looks as if a divine intervention, if you will, for lack of a better word, has moved him out of a very pivotal position. So I'm wondering who they will look to in the next session of Congress as one of the leading proponents who is effective in galvanizing support in the Senate, you know? I wonder.
Well, I would think Senator Gordon Smith, he's a powerful speaker, could well go into Kennedy.
Comes to mind, yes, he does.
But, you know, it's kind of like shark's teeth. You pull one teeth out and another other teeth go up and fill its places.
Sure,
and I think the ADL is very resourceful. I don't think they'll have too much problem. They've got plenty of stooges in Congress. But as I was mentioning, one of the very distinctive features of this new onslaught is that Christians, largely Christians, are being indicted not for breaking established law. And, and when I say established law, I mean established traditional English law.
Sure.
They're being indicted for breaking new laws that have been passed very largely within only the last year or two, and statutes and ordinances, arbitrary decrees from place and so on. So Christians are being made into lawbreakers, not because of breaking the ancestral traditional laws of Western civilization, but by breaking, by being made into lawbreakers of bias crimes, workplace bias crimes, hate crimes, and so on, which have been very artificially imposed by the courts on and state legislatures and municipalities in America. I think the state of California, above all of the states, is a real battle zone. I think a lot of our listeners are aware of SB 777, which was passed by the legislature and signed into law by Arnold Schwarzenegger in California.
Yeah.
And what it says is that there is to be no criticism of homosexuality in public education.
Mm-hmm.
And if a Christian student criticizes homosexuality, he will be expelled. If a Christian teacher criticizes homosexuality, they will lose their job. And anyone who criticizes homosexuality is open, wide open for a lawsuit.
Yeah, and ironically, in Massachusetts, it was one of the first examples of that with former Governor William Weld in the same public school setting. All right, we'll be back. Continue our discussion with Ted Pike, www.truthtellers.org. I'm Rick Adams, the Radio Avenger. All right, okay. Well, I'll tell you, they're certainly breeding disrespect for the laws in our nation today. The ADL types we're talking about, they are the main progenitors and promoters, architects of hate speech, hate crimes legislation across the United States. Ted Pike is my guest here. And yes, Ted, you know what's interesting now? The latest turn of events in my neck of the woods and other areas across America has been this attempt by the Southern Poverty Law Center, Mo Dees' group, Mark Potok, and the ADL working with other front groups to try to cast American citizens as bigots and terrorists and Nazis and anti-immigrants over this issue of illegal flood tide into the nation today. That is their latest project, trying to use guilt by association tactics and attempting to discredit this very valuable Americanist cause. And they're using that also to prosecute hate crimes against individuals who may encounter some illegals who are doing some pretty dastardly things, by the way.
Yeah. Well, not only that, but of course, I think I probably mentioned this on your program, the United States State Department's Office of Global Anti-Semitism now makes all Bible-believing, New Testament-believing evangelical Christians into a classic anti-Semite. That's their phrase for any Christian who believes the book of Acts and the Gospels that the Jews had Christ killed 2,000 years ago.
Yes.
What they're trying to do is to, you see, back in the 1990s and so on, up in Canada, the northern branches of ADL, the Canadian Jewish Congress and B'nai B'rith Canada, they started out with the people pretty far to the right, the Holocaust reductionists and racists and people like that, as the first guinea pigs, if you will, of their hate crimes prosecution program. But I knew that that was just kind of a dress rehearsal.
Mm-hmm.
I knew that they would start in on the Christians, and now we're getting a record number of Christians all over Canada, United States, Europe, who are being arrested, indicted for hate crimes, speech crimes, and so on.
Now,
of course, was the ultimate objective.
Yeah, we should point out also that it isn't all to their favor. There is a backwash of resistance in many of these countries in Europe, too, by the way, to what the ADL is doing and trying to do here.
Well, you know, that's very interesting. The human rights tribunals up in Canada have a 100% conviction rate of anyone who is brought before them accused of criticizing a homosexual.
Mm-hmm.
All the homosexual has to do, of course, is say that his feelings are hurt and the truth is not admitted into the hate crimes tribunals, and one hearings officer is able to pontificate guilty or innocent, and they always have decreed anyone brought before the hate crimes tribunals as guilty. But just this week, for the first time in Canadian hate law history, Maclean's magazine, which is a huge presence in the media in Canada, you may remember that they were indicted for a hate crime of allowing columnist Mark Stein to criticize Islam, and they were basically brought before the Human Rights Tribunal, and because there was so much international pressure and outrage against that, they, for the first time in history, acquitted Maclean's magazine. They have not acquitted Mark Stein yet, but in the article in the St. Louis, the Post-Dispatch, there's a good article there in which it's saying that there's a lot of anger rising up, not only in the world, but in Canada itself now, with people actually talking about throwing out the hate crimes system altogether.
Well, I think when they realize that sometimes, inevitably, it may come back to bite them in the proverbial rear butt, you know, then all of a sudden they sit up and take notice, because, you know, that was the case with the Alan Bakke decision here in America, you know, in the 70s and 80s with affirmative action. That was the brainchild of the Bolshevik Zionists in America. And, of course, then when it started affecting them, then all of a sudden there was a different take on it, you know, and it was not that good old fairness concept anymore. So I think this may be the reason, Ted, that they're experiencing that in places like Canada.
Well, you know, the glory and genius of the Internet is that although I'm primarily speaking to an American audience, what I'm saying is, and you're saying also, is going all around the world.
It is.
And another news break was that the state of Hungary has been pressured to adopt a national hate crimes law, and they have rejected it. As our listeners are probably aware, the ADL of Europe is very involved with some 55 nations trying to bring them into a big hate crimes bureaucracy there in Europe.
Absolutely.
But here's Hungary rejecting any kind of hate crimes laws. As an aside, my video, The Other Israel, has been translated into Hungary, has been very popular in the Hungarian language, and has actually been shown over there in theaters in Hungary.
Wow.
And I'm not taking credit, but I'm saying that every little bit helps on the Internet or whatever to begin to poison and disenchant people in these other countries with the predicament the hate laws have gotten them into.
Fascinating, particularly under the former Bolshevik Eastern Bloc, you see. They know something we don't, maybe. All right, Ted, take a quick break. We'll be back. We'll take calls for Ted Pike tonight on the subject of hate crimes, hate speech legislation. Rick Adams, the Paul Revere of Talk Radio, here on the Republic Broadcasting Network. Radio Avenger back here on Republic with Ted Pike. Police state in Champaign, Illinois. That's what started this hour out tonight. And Ted, you know what you're saying now has come to pass. As you say, Plan B of the ADL has been to force state attorneys general, law enforcement officials to start looking into prosecuting people who might be engaged in politically incorrect activity as hate criminals. Isn't that interesting how they're advancing that agenda? And it is beginning to backfire now, as you point out, overseas. And I think, as we see more and more opposition growing here in America, the ADL may be biting off a little bit more than it can chew here.
Well, I think so. The disadvantage of Plan B, which is to enforce the state hate laws rather than one big federal hate law, is that it's sporadic. It's gradual. It's sporadic. It is not coordinated with the efficiency of our hate crimes bureaucracy from the Capitol. And what that does is it gives us an advantage to jump on the ADL, to harass the hate crimes prosecutors and so on, and raise up public anger and disgust at this. And I think that's becoming more and more of a probability and possibility, because there are some outrageous things happening, as I say, which are making hate criminals out of literally thousands, hundreds of thousands of people. For example, back to California, I mentioned SB 777, which makes anyone who's in the public school system basically a hate criminal for criticizing homosexuality. Well, there's hundreds of thousands of homeschoolers in California. I think it's something like 500,000 that are threatening to just leave the public school system and homeschool, and they thought, well, we'll just have our children under our control and get them outside of the homosexual agenda and so on. But the Second District Court of Appeals had an answer for that, and about a month or so ago they ruled that it's illegal. It's now illegal for parents to homeschool their children in the state of California without a teacher's license. And, of course, this sent shockwaves through through the whole state of California, and there was a tremendous reaction from organizations like Focus on the Family and so on, avalanche of protest, and this judgment was temporarily set aside as these basically hypocritical state judges called in their cronies and various liberal advisory groups trying to give the impression of democracy in this judgment and so on. So it's kind of on hold right now.
I'll bet that NEA, National Education Association, is heavily involved there in California with the ADL types to impose that for their own vested interests as well.
That's right. There are, you see, the grandfather of all bias crime legislation, speech crime legislation, legislation that makes thoughts and ideas into criminal acts, it all starts with the ADL. The ADL is the great organizer, working with the Jewish-dominated media in America literally for the last 75 years in conditioning America, generations of America, in this direction.
Mm-hmm.
So as I was mentioning in the beginning of the program, these massive programs like the World of Difference program, No Place for Hate programs, and so on, have sowed seeds and conditioned leaders, administrators, jurists, et cetera, for generations.
Mm-hmm.
And so even though it's kind of difficult sometimes to say, well, the ADL masterminded or directed a particular action, the fact is that all of these government and local and municipal leaders are saturated from their childhood with ADL tolerance and bias education programs.
Yeah,
and
so the
state of California, you see, just rides on a sea of ADL activism and organization, educational indoctrination for generations. And so that's why we see these perverse judgments. For example, the Ninth Circuit ruling several months ago that it was illegal now to promote family values or quote-unquote marriage in state offices in California.
Yeah.
And then again, we find the California Supreme Court last month legalizing same-sex marriage.
Can you believe that? Violating the will of the people. Overruling the voice of the public. But you know what I have to say? Thank goodness that not all of the courts are as corrupt as they are in these cases in California, and there have been some judicious judgments from benches in this and other areas, I might add, as well, with the Bush administration's, torture-like Israel mentality. And we have seen some of that reverse because many of these judges realize that it's outrageous and they don't have to run for re-election. They don't have to worry about the ADL backing their opponent when they're on that bench. Some of them have done some good, so let's be thankful for the little that is good.
Well, there was some ricochet even to Congress about this terrible ruling banning, making literally hundreds of thousands of Christian Californians into criminals, criminals, for being homeschoolers. And there was, that resonated in Congress. Many members of Congress were very angry, began talking about actually wanting to make an amendment to the Constitution providing for the right to educate your children in the homes and so on. So, again, Plan B, the ADL's Plan B of beginning the hate crimes agenda in the U.S. state is problematical for them. It was by far their second choice. But fortunately, we have delayed them for about 10 years. People have come and rallied around alternative talk radio primarily, as well as some of the large new right organizations. And it's given us a breathing space that the people of Canada never had. In 1971, the neighbor of Canada and Canadian Jewish Congress came in and they snuck in the Human Rights Act of Canada in 1971. And basically they got a noose around the Canadian people, which they cinched tight, and the Canadians have never gotten out. And fortunately in America we've had some salt and light and spirited resistance that's made it possible to delay that.
And we've just passed the Independence Day holiday, you know. I mean, that's what it's all about, independence from the tyranny of the unappointed, unelected minorities here who are directing our foreign and domestic, public officials. So there is some light at the end of that tunnel, Ted. Let's take a few calls if you're ready. All right, 800-313-9443 is our number. I'm Rick Adams, and we already have lines pretty jammed up here. So let's start with, let's see, we've got Henry first in Connecticut. Hello there, Henry. Yes, Henry. Are you there, Henry? And let's move along. Is he there, Mike? Okay, let's take a call from Jim in Buffalo. Hello, Jim. You're on with Ted Pike.
Yes, Reverend.
Yes, Jim.
Evening.
Yes, good evening.
Yeah, it's always great to talk to you. I love when you're on with Rick and tackle these subjects. I guess my big problem here is just how the American people just don't see this for what it is, just on the surface. And if I'm off base here, please stop me. How is anybody's life worth more than someone else's? Just because you're homosexual means that someone, you know, if you're murdered, God forbid, I mean, murder is wrong no matter who it is, no matter who you're murdering. How is that life more valuable than, say, than my daughter? Okay? How is that life worth more than, say, your wife or your mom or your dad? And just on the surface, it's wrong, but people don't seem to get it. And I'm listening to your talk about what's going on with McLean's in Canada. I have a couple of friends in Canada who have talked to me about this. Do you know they're actually afraid to chat with me on the phone
mm-hmm.
from Canada to talk to me? They don't even want to discuss it on the phone because they're afraid they might be heard.
The KGB.
Yeah. The KGB, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. Well, the truth of the matter is that you're absolutely right that every life is precious certainly in the eyes of God as well as should be in the eyes of the law. But what we have here, as Rick was mentioning earlier, is a very selective morality coming from this hate crimes Gestapo of the ADL. The whole purpose of ADL, hate crimes laws, is not to bring about any kind of justice or redress of grievance or anything like that. It's not to end violent crime. It's to persecute Christians. It's basically mm-hmm. to say that Christians are a biased, bigoted, anti-Semitic bunch, have been ever since Jesus Christ and the New Testament, and the world would be better off if they were silenced, mm-hmm. prohibited, and restrained from exercising mm-hmm. any influence in public life.
Uh-huh.
And the proof is, as you've just said, the New Testament has been named, and if they had just come out right at the top of the list and targeted the New Testament, of course it would be all too obvious, wouldn't it? It would be so counterproductive. But culminating in that case, after years of agitating and litigating against the people, who have been attacked because of their sexual orientation or hate crimes or whatever, you know, legitimate cases of beating and death and murder and so forth, then they begin to build up that momentum. And as you point out, Ted, so well in your website, truthtellers.org, I mean, that is the end game. The end game is Christians. They want the Christians. And this is the name of the game.
In a word, these Jewish activist organizations are basically coming from a Talmudic, Pharisaic
yes.
point of view,
mm-hmm.
which goes all the way back to the New Testament. The Apostle Paul was once Saul of Tarsus, a Pharisee among the Pharisees who were determined to stamp out Christianity at its very beginning. And circumstances prohibited that. The destruction of Jerusalem,
mm-hmm.
exile of the Jews, and so on. So they had to delay their basic program of wanting to nip Christianity in the bud. They've delayed it literally for 1,900 years. But international Jewish power now is so great through the media, through education, government, the White House, war making, all those things. Their power is so great now that they really are in a position to resume that systematic legal persecution of Christianity.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, this is prophesied in the scripture of
yes.
the end days. The Christians will even be brought up to Jerusalem as hate criminals to be tried in the synagogues and imprisoned.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
So, Reverend, I mean, that really is the end game. I mean, that's where
yes,
I'm going to go next. In other words,
yes, it is.
All of these other things are fronts. Homosexuality.
Yes, that's right.
Whatever.
Yes.
Because inevitably what they want
to
do is...
There are means to an end there, Jim.
There are means to an end, exactly. So in other words, it's keeping us from criticizing the Talmudism, right?
Well, exactly.
It's Zionism. And you know what? But I don't understand, Reverend. I guess my next question, and I will hang up and listen. What do we have to do to the American public to wake them up? You know, if they don't see, if I see it this way, if we don't hear it on CNN, we don't believe it. We're not open to any other news. You know, if we don't hear it, if we don't see it on ABC at night, we don't. You know. People
yeah.
just don't, I guess they just don't want to believe this, right?
But, all right. Jim, hang up and listen to the response. Let Ted answer you, and we'll move on. Thank you. Go ahead, Ted.
The truth is, Jim, that the dynamics of education through the media are changing very radically. Yes, the couch potatoes, they go to CNN, ABC, CBS, Big Three TV networks, and so on. But the thinkers of the world more and more are coming to the Internet for their news and alternative explanations of politics and reality. And that's where we are in such a tremendous position now. For example, if somebody, you see, on one hand, there are these huge evangelical Christian conservative news organizations like WorldNet Daily, which speaks to 7 million people a day. People like Bob Unruh, writers at WorldNet Daily, are now almost daily bringing up hate crimes abuses, speech crimes abuses in the United States and around the world. And they are really getting a lot of people on the Internet, especially concerned, worried about hate crimes. Mm-hmm. And so people go and they Google hate laws at Google, and immediately when they come to hate laws, they find the number one expert on hate laws in the world is the Anti-Defamation League of B'nai B'rith. Number two expert is Ted Pike and TruthTellers.org.
There you go.
See, so many thousands of evangelicals now, out of this rising concern, are now being rooted directly to TruthTellers.org. And there they really get an earful about what is really the motivating bias against this kind of assault on Christianity. And so...
Right.
When these thinker-type peoples come to truthtellers.org, they stay there, they read the articles, they listen to the rebroadcasts and so on, and literally they cannot criticize, cannot find fault with any of our truths and our documentation. So
yeah.
We really are having an international powerful effect putting a wet blanket over a great deal of the ADL propaganda in the world today.
Thank you for that, Ted. Let's take some quick calls because of time here. Henry is back. Hello, Henry. Quick call for Ted Pike. All right, something wrong with his phone line, I guess. All right, we've got Doug in Texas. Hello, Doug. Doug, are you there? All right, let's take Dave in Massachusetts.
I'm here.
All right, Doug, you're on now first. Go ahead.
Yeah, I just got a little light there. Ted, you don't think that the hate crimes were, you know, I hear all this hate on talk radio about we need to go kill every Islamo-fascist on the face of this earth. You don't think that they were intended to put a stop to that nonsense?
Well, you see, around the world, in Australia, Canada, and so on, there are a lot of hate crimes indictments being made against people who criticize Islam. And again, usually those who criticize Islam are Christians, and it almost seems as if the ADL is mm-hmm. willing to entrap Christians by
mm-hmm.
about whatever means they possibly can.
Sacrifice them, right? Put them on the front line, sure.
In other words, what they do is, I hear this occasionally, what they do is with Neil Bortz's and the Rush Limbaughs and the Sean Hannitys and all these people, they're out to get you, eat your babies, cut your head off, drink your blood. These are the most horrible people on the face of the earth. And then they come out and say, oh, God, I'm not elected to Congress. There's one Islamophobic in this country.
Right. Okay, Doug, your phone is unfortunately wavering off, and we got to take a break. But we get the point, and we'll have to address that when we come back. Take another call, too, if we can. Rick Adams, the Radio Avenger, right here on the RepublicBroadcasting.org. Ted Pike is my guest. Ted, you know, you heard the call from Doug, I think, and I assume you heard it. Did you have any response to what he was saying?
Well, it was pretty garbled there at the end. I guess I didn't quite catch what he was saying.
I know he was trying to make the point about the hosts, these neocon hosts all over talk radio, following up to what you were saying about putting the Christians on the front line in attacking the Muslims, the so-called radical Islam, and the ADL is sitting back laughing. You know, they're having a ball there. You know, slaughter each other, folks. You know, go at it.
Yeah.
And I know that's what he was intimating.
That's as old as the Crusades in the Middle
mm-hmm.
Ages, where the Christians went off to destroy the Muslim infidels, you know.
Yes.
I mean, this is the deja vu, doing the same thing in the war and terror in the Middle East right now.
Absolutely. Let me see if I can squeeze in Dave in Massachusetts for a quick call and then give your website and phone number again. Yes, Dave, welcome to the program with Ted Pike.
Yeah, thanks, Rick. Hello, Reverend Pike.
Yes, I can hear you.
Yeah,
go right ahead, Dave, for time. Go ahead.
Oh, yeah, I've been an admirer and student of Reverend Pike's for a long time. Hey, I have a quick incident that I'd like to tell Reverend Pike about.
Sure.
You know, I used to live in a city, Reverend Pike, a few years ago, and I was down at the City Hall, and there was a information booth when you first walked in City Hall. And over the behind the desk on the wall hanging up high was a big sign that saying that this city was one of those cities that was no place for hate,
mm-hmm.
and it was one of those ADL
signs.
Anyways, mm-hmm. back in those days, I used to drink alcohol, and I was home. I was listening to Reverend William Potter Gale, a sermon by William Potter Gale, and mm-hmm. I kind of got fired up. I was drinking. Well, I went down to City Hall, and the janitor's closet was right by the men's room, and there was a ladder in there. So I went in there, and I grabbed the ladder. I knew about the ladder. I went in, and I grabbed the ladder, and I went out front to the information desk, and the lady was sitting there and everything. And I said to her, ma'am, I says, I'm with the Anti-Defamation League of B'nai B'rith. And I said, the Anti-Defamation League has come out with new and improved hate signs. New and improved hate signs.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm going to replace your hate sign and put up a brand new and improved hate sign.
Mm-hmm.
And she fell for it. I mean, I was half looped. But she felt it. She's all fine and everything, no problem. And so I went behind her desk. I had to walk through a little gate with the ladder. And I took down the big ADL hate sign. Took off. And, of course, you know, I tossed it into a dumpster. And I never went back. Well, you know, the next day I got a call. I got a call on the phone that was a detective from that city.
Sure.
He asked me if he could come by and talk to me, and I told him sure and everything. Well, they got me on video camera, and the detective asked me about it and everything, and I just told him, I said, this city, and I'm going to give you a clue where this city was, but I said, you know, the city was multicultural, but there was no incidents of hate. Everybody got along harmoniously.
Dave, we really are running out of time. Could you just get to the point quickly, because we're running out now.
Yeah, well, you know, the point was he just wanted me to reassure him that I posed no threat to the mayor, and nothing ever came of it.
Well, that's good news, Dave. I appreciate it. Thanks so much. Ted, we just don't have time for more calls. I want you to mention, again, your site and how people can reach you.
Yes, just come to www.truthtellers.org. We've got a wealth of information on everything we're talking about tonight.
All right. Very good. Thank you, Ted Pike. Sorry we didn't have more time for our callers and Dave and others, but we just ran out. We'll do it again, though, Ted. We've got to do this a little bit more often again. And thank you for your efforts. Good night,
thank
everyone.
You so much,
ladies
Ted.
And gentlemen, bye. See you tomorrow night.